The servant of God, Don Prosper Garanger, in his book, The Liturgical Life, calls out to us from the 19th century with the real meaning of Christmas revealed in the three masses of Christmas Day, Midnight Mass, the Dawn or Aurora Mass, and the Mass of the Day. He says, quoting, It is now time to offer the great sacrifice and to call down Emmanuel, God with us, from heaven. He alone can fully pay the debt of gratitude which mankind owes to the Eternal Father. He will intercede for us on the altar as he did in the crib. We will approach him with love, and he will give himself to us. But such is the greatness of today's mystery that the Church is not satisfied with only once offering up the holy sacrifice. The long-expected and precious gift deserves an unusual welcome. God the Father has given his Son to us, and it is by the operation of the Holy Ghost that the great portent is produced. Let there then be to the ever-blessed Trinity the homage of a triple sacrifice. Besides this, Jesus, who is born tonight, is born thrice. He is born of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the stable of Bethlehem. He is born by grace in the hearts of the shepherds, who are the first fruits of the Christian Church. And he is born eternally from the bosom of the Father, in the brightness of the saints, to the triple birth. Therefore, let there be homage of a triple sacrifice. And we may just pause for a moment and recall what we are doing here and reenacting 2,000 years ago and what this means for us in our world. The world lay in great darkness. All the world except for the Jews were pagans. The scriptures, the psalmist tells us, all pagan religions are from the devil. Now that might sound a little extreme, but when you think about it, the devil will use religion, and in the guise of religion, he will have people do child sacrifice. As we know, the Aztecs, they will steal and rob, and they will divorce and marry and so forth and so on. And so we see how many of the pagan religions were from the devil. So these people, poor people, the Gentile world, were laying in great darkness. Only the Jews knew about the Messiah. And even then, they didn't comprehend it fully, because when the three wise men came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews to be born?" They say, "In Bethlehem." But did they go to visit to Bethlehem and follow the star like the Magi? No. They said, "You on your way back, you could show us the way." Needless to say, they didn't care. And of course, all the innkeepers didn't have any room for Jesus and his parents, given accommodation. So we see how the world was in great, great darkness. So this is a great light, my friends, a great light that we have with Christmas. The light of Christ, the light of the world. Where would we be without Jesus Christ today? He has come to give us the truth and establish his faith, his church, and to redeem us from our sins. As you know, Adam and Eve's sin was an infant offense against God. Any sin against God is explained on the person to whom it is against. So a sin against God is infinite in a way, because God is infinite. And that can only be repaid by an infinite sacrifice, which man is not capable of. Only a God could make that sacrifice. But a God could not suffer. So therefore Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to come and redeem our world and sacrifice himself. The psalmist also tells us that sacrifice and oblation thou wouldst not. Then said I, "Behold, I come." All the sacrifices of bulls and calves, all their blood, could never make up for the sin of Adam. Only Jesus Christ, sacrificing himself, even one drop of his blood on the cross, was sufficient. And this is, of course, what we enact today at the three masses, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it shows how grace is coming into this world. Grace first with Jesus being born of his mother in Bethlehem, right? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And we see this true with Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And to the astonishment of the shepherds, there they were in their fields, and an angel tells them, "I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior is born." And then they saw a multitude of angels. How many angels do you think they saw? A few hundred? A choir? My dear friends, I would think that all heaven was emptying out on this day to come down to earth, as it were, to see the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I would say there were billions in the heavens, billions, because there are many, many more angels than we have human beings. If every guardian angel gets one person, and every person has a guardian angel, that there means there's at least as many guardian angels as there are persons. And the guardian angels are only one of the choirs, and a part of what of the first choir, that is. And there are nine choirs. And every choir is 10 times bigger than the choir before it. So the second choir is 10 times bigger than the first. The third choir is 10 times bigger than the second, and so on. And we can't even imagine how many angels there were. So no wonder these shepherds were astonished. Even if they saw just a few hundred, they would be astonished. So would we. But they saw, I'm sure, I think, many, many more, because this was the great event, the greatest event in the history of man. No other event that we have in human history can compare to the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God and man, born into our world. My dear friends, this is the greatest event. And this is why we should be so overjoyed today, because we have a great treasure in Jesus Christ, who loves us. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him will have eternal life. And Jesus Christ has come to save us and to give us eternal life and to unite ourselves with him. And this is the second Mass that we celebrate today. We celebrated at dawn the Mass where we see how grace is brought into the shepherds, the three shepherds. Grace is born into them, just like grace is born into our soul. Jesus says, "If you love me, you keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come to you and abide with you." So the second Mass, the dawn Mass, celebrates the birth of Jesus in grace in the hearts of the shepherds who accepted Jesus, and thereafter, I am sure, were never the same. In fact, there they give us great example. They hastened to adore the newborn babe to Bethlehem, and after seeing the child, they told everybody of this miraculous thing, and everybody in Bethlehem was astonished. We don't hear about it in the scriptures because we don't have that there, but we can imagine how they must have all been amazed, especially as I mentioned, the angels, the shepherds talk about the angels. And the third Mass we have is the Mass where we celebrate the birth of Jesus from all eternity, the only begotten Son of the Father. So we celebrate the birth of grace in our world with the birth of Jesus, with the grace into the shepherds, and of course with the birth, the eternal birth of Jesus. And we'll talk about that now. This day is born to you a Savior. All right, Dom Gallagher tells us this, and to all those who believe in Jesus Christ, they will have grace born into their soul. Now, the eternal birth of Christ is just something beyond our comprehension. We can't even imagine what it is like. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The mystery of which Christ Church honors the third Mass is the eternal generation of the birth of the Son of God in the bosom of the Father. At midnight, she celebrated the birth of the God-man born in the stable from the womb of the glorious Virgin Mary. At the dawn Mass, this same divine infant born in the souls of the shepherds, and there still remains for her adoration and praise a birth more wonderful than these other two, a birth which dazzles the eyes of angels by its splendor and bears its eternal witness to the inward fruitfulness of God. The Son of Mary is also the Son of God, and a grand duty of today is that we hymn aloud the glory of his ineffable generation, which makes him consubstantial to his Father, God of God, light of light. Let us then raise up our thoughts even to the eternal Word, who was in the beginning with God and was himself God, as we see in today's gospel. For he is the brightness of his Father's glory, and the figure of his substance, John 1:3. The brightness of his glory and the figure of his substance. Tom Gallinger goes on to tell us how this is in this today's readings. St. Paul bids us to raise our thoughts up to the infinite light from the midst of which the eternal Father thus speaks to the child of Mary. Thou art my son, this today I have begotten thee. This today is the day of eternity, a day which neither morning star, morning nor evening, neither rising nor setting, if the human nature which he has vouchsafed to assume places him below angels, he is infinitely above them by his own essence, whereby he is the Son of God. He is God, he is Lord, and no change can come upon him. He may be wrapped in the swaddling bands or nailed to the cross or put to the most ignominious death. All this is only in his human nature. In his divinity, he remains impassible as to suffering and immortal, for he was born of the Father from all eternity. And of course, what that means, he never had a beginning, and will never have an end. We can't even imagine what that's all about. Everything was made by thee, and we are the work of thy hands. O light infinite and eternal, O Son of justice, enlighten us, for we are but darkness. Too long have we loved our darkness, and thee we have not comprehended. Forgive us our blindness and our errors. Thou hast been long knocking at the door of our hearts, and we have refused to let thee in. Today, thanks to the wonderful ways of thy love, we have reached to receive thee. For who could refuse to receive thee, sweet, gentle infant Jesus? But leave us not. Abide with us and perfect the new birth which thou hast begun in us. We wish henceforth to be neither of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. By thee and in thee, thou hast made flesh, O Word eternal, in order that we may become sons of God. We beseech thee, support our weak human nature, and fit us for this our sublime destiny. Thou art born of God, thy Father. Thou art born of Mary. Thou art born in us, in our hearts. Thrice glorified be thou for this thy triple birth, O Jesus, so merciful in thy divinity and so divine in thy self-sought humiliation. My Jesus, my friends, wonderful teaching by Don Garanger. And of course, Jesus became man so that we could become gods. And we are, because God dwells on us. And we will be united with God for all eternity. That's why we were made. We were made to possess God in the spousal relationship in heaven. And that relationship begins here on earth. As I mentioned before, sanctifying grace is a spousal relationship. If you love me, you keep my commandments. And my Father will love you, and we will come to you and abide with you. So this relationship begins here with sanctifying grace in the soul and is culminated by our life of eternal union, spousal union with God for all eternity. My dear friends, this is why Jesus came. And he came to teach the world that lay in darkness. So many pagans all over the world when you think about it. Only the Jews had a slight idea of what was going to happen with the Messiah. And even then, they didn't really fully comprehend, or else they would have run to Bethlehem with speed, like the shepherds. We have the truth, my friends. We've had 2,000 years of Christianity, and we've seen what the great saints and the church has taught. So we are very, very blessed. So let us ask Our Lady, the Immaculate, the Blessed Virgin Mary, as she contemplated her newborn son, born of her, virginally. Let us ask her to teach us, because St. Maximilian Kolbe tells us she penetrates the soul and directs its faculties, memory, understanding, with her unlimited power. And if we ask Our Lady to teach us how to love her son and to understand our son and to understand what he has done, then she will do that. So let us ask the Blessed Mother in all our rosaries to help us to understand the great mysteries, especially the ones we're celebrating during the joyful mysteries, the mystery of the Incarnation, what it really means to know that God became man, incarnate in the flesh. Ask her to help us. Help us to understand his great sacrifice on the cross, which we celebrate in the three masses, Jesus offering himself up, body and blood, soul and divinity to the Father. Our Lady will teach us, and if we pray our rosary to her and ask us for these things, we are sure to be heard. May the Lord bless you.